எல்லாம் ஒன்றே, ஆல் இஸ் ஒன். இன் அவர் லாஸ்ட் இஷ்யூ வி டாக்குமெண்டட் ஹவ் ஸ்ரீ பகவான் டுக் பர்டிகுலர் இன்ட்ரெஸ்ட் இன் தி ஸ்டடி ஆஃப் திஸ் ஸ்மால் தமிழ் புக் எல்லாம் ஒன்றே. பிலோ ஆர் தி தேர்ட் அண்ட் ஃபோர்த் சாப்டர்ஸ் ஆஃப் த சிக்ஸ்த் சாப்டர் டெக்ஸ்ட். Chapter 3, God. 1. Who is God? God is He who has transcended all that is seen by us. If transcending this world, is there no relation between Him and this world? Not a particle here is unrelated to Him. Then, what is meant by transcending the world? The world comprises us and the objects seen by us. In other words, the animate and inanimate together form the world. What shall we say of Him who created the beings and things? Of these two, we say the conscious beings to be superior. All that we can apprehend is that He belongs to the highest order of beings known to us. Our intellect cannot proceed further. Thus, our Creator is superior to us. He cannot be apprehended by our intellect. Therefore, His name, Transcendent Being, Kadavul, means that He surpasses our intellect. Hence, His name is Kadavul, Transcendent Being. 2. Can God then not be made known to us? Not quite so. In a way, He is known to us. This much of His grace is enough for us. We have no need for all His greatness. He has made known so much of His greatness as will suffice to eradicate our misery. There is no reason for Him to reveal a lot more of His power than is necessary to remedy our defects in the present state. Thus, He is known according to our needs. Nay, He is in our grasp. However limitless, He is within reach of our knowledge to some extent. 3. What is it which brings Him within reach of our knowledge? That He is known as Being, Consciousness, Bliss. Being denotes that which is imperishable, that which exists forever. Should He become non-existent at any time, who is His destroyer? Who created Him? Since the perishable nature of all leads to the inference that they are lorded over by one who is imperishable, this immortal overlord is God. His imperishable nature is being, sat. Now, what is consciousness? Chit. By consciousness, we mean knowledge. This is absolute knowledge and not like our erring intellectual knowledge. Irregularity or mistake cannot stain its actions. It is knowledge, pure and simple. Frequently, He teaches us saying, your knowledge is irregular and erring. How orderly are even the insentient objects of His creation? It is known to many how an atheist was taught a good lesson when he derided the scheme of things, saying, why did He make the seed so small for the banyan tree, which is so big? That an insentient thing is found in good order and later becomes useful implies a conscious agency at work. Can a simple insentient thing do something which is possible for unfailing knowledge only? Or can't it be done by our inadequate knowledge? No, it can never be. Therefore, God is said to be consciousness, chit also. Now, what is bliss? It is the state of being free from desire for anything. It is peace which is ever full. Were he to desire anything, how could he be better than ourselves? How could we gain bliss from him? He himself would require another being to fulfill his desires. But who would think him to be so? The state of self-contentment is that of bliss also. Therefore, he is called bliss, ananda. The three, being, consciousness, and bliss, are inseparable. Otherwise, they would become not individually. Hence, he is known as being, consciousness, bliss, Satchidananda. Thus, God remains not only transcendent, but also falls within the reach of our knowledge as being, consciousness, bliss. 4. He who has gained the fourth state and sees all as one, only he knows God truly as being, consciousness, bliss. Words cannot express, nor the ears hear, how such one is united with God. It is a matter of realization, but there are ways and means for such realization. They can be spoken of, learned, and acted upon. 5. He who can be realized thus is God. He has no name. We give him a name. He has no form. We give him a form. What is the harm in doing so? What name is not his? Or what form is not his? What is the sound or form in which he is not? Therefore, in the absence of true knowledge of him, you can name him as you please, or imagine him as of any form, so to remember him. Your hope for his grace without any effort on your part is utterly fruitless. Should it be possible to have his grace without any effort on your side, all would be alike. There would be no reason for any difference. He has shown us the ways and means. Make effort, reach the goal, be happy. Your idleness and selfishness make you expect his grace without your effort. The rule for all is for you too. Do not relax your efforts. God can be realized by your effort only. 6. There is an effort which excels all others. This may, however, appear to be less effective than devotion to God with name and form. Nevertheless, this is the more efficient. It is simply the love which you extend to all beings, whether good or bad. In the absence of such love to all, your devotion to God amounts to a mere parody. Of what use are you to God? That you seek fulfillment of your desires from God without doing your duty towards the needy in the world must be attributed to your selfishness. In God's presence, there is no use for such. The workings that take place in his presence are all unselfish. Therefore, think that all the centers are his, and he is in all the centers, and thus be devoted to him. God is truly bound by such high devotion. 7. As you go on ascribing names and forms to God and showing love to all, because you have understood all names and forms to be his, your mind will gradually mature. Just as the taste improves with the ripening of a fruit, so also you will recognize the waxing of good and the waning of evil in you. As your mind matures, there will come a time when you should meet your master. This is not to say that you go in search of him or he comes in search of you. At the right time, the meeting will happen. All are moving in their own ways. Your fitness brings you together, makes you trust him, makes him teach you the right way also makes you follow His instructions. That is the straight way to reach God, which is to gain the fourth state. You will follow the way and reach your goal, which is being consciousness bliss, which is God. 8. The way shown by the Master is final, straight, and making for unity. It is well tried, natural, and free from pain. When you are following the way shown by the Master, doubts will not arise. There will be no fear. Are not fear and doubt the characteristics of the ways of darkness? How can they meet you in the way of truth shown by the Master? In this manner, the way will itself speak to you and say that it is the right one. In that way, there will be nothing more for you to do but to meet your Master and learn from Him. That way will be familiar to you, as the Master and God have made it so. Before you, He had treaded the way. He has shown you the way, and you are following Him. To how many will you show the same way, and how many more will follow the same way later? Obviously, fear and doubt have no place in the way of truth. When once you have taken a step forward, you will step back. The Master's help is only for the first step forward. You need not do anything for your Master in order to have the way shown to you. Know Him to be the messenger of God, sent down to disclose the way to the fit who have become ripe by their own efforts in either or both the directions mentioned earlier. It is God who sends this godly messenger just when you are ripe. 9. Practice with faith in the period of ignorance is called bhakti. The same with knowledge is called jnana. Of the two divisions of bhakti, the one is devotion to God with name and form, and the other is karma, which is love for all. Of the two divisions of jnana, the practice of the true way shown by the Master is called yoga, and the resulting state is called jnana. It is natural for all to believe in something which is not seen and then to find it. Those who do not believe can never find. Therefore, the believers will gain something sometime or other, and the unbelievers never gain anything. You can believe even for the simple reason that faith in God is not harmful. Thereby, you can share the good effects. This world is meant only for creating faith in you. This is the purpose of creation. Have faith and you can reach God. 10. Though you may not believe all that is said of God, believe at least there is God. This seed is very potent in its growth. It is so mighty as to negate all else and fill all by itself. It is so almighty that you will not see anything besides God, not even yourself. Truly, God is all. Chapter 4. Peace. 1. What is peace? Although the world persists when a man is in deep sleep, does he have any cares concerning it? His mind is tranquil and refreshed. Should this mind be in the same degree calm and refreshed even when he is face to face with the world and is active therein, then there is peace. 2. Can the mind remain so even when the world confronts us? It depends upon our estimate of the world. The mind is more excited when one's own property is plundered than when another's property is similarly plundered. Of one's own things, the loss of one thing causes greater concern than those of another. Why? Because our estimate of the things is the cause of the degree of the delight or anxiety concerning them. Therefore, should one learn to regard all equally, the mind will be extremely peaceful. Or should all things be considered as our own and highly prized, then too there is no cause for pain. Why? What will a man regret? The mind which knows that universal concern is beyond its capacity must needs become tranquil. Also, when one feels that one has claim on anything or that everything is perishable, the mind will remain cool. Thus, there will be lasting peace if one looks on all as of the same value. Peace is dependent upon one's intellectual appraisals. 3. I shall now illustrate this. A man wakes up from a dream. His mind is happy or troubled according to his opinion of the things seen in the dream. But on waking, his mind remains unaffected by all the happenings in the dream. It remains the same. Why? Because only now his mind has learned to value all the matters of the dream equally. He is not sorry for the cessation of the dream. Why? He is convinced that the dream is not everlasting and must end on waking. In the same manner, should a man be convinced that he cannot but wake up sometime from the long dream of the world, his mind will be unchanging. It is the state of freshness. This is the state of peace. 4. This is not to say that his relation with the world will cease. Now only peace and freshness of the mind are his. His actions cannot but vary according to circumstances. The only change in him after the mind has become peaceful is this: his mind has known the truth and become unattached. Therefore, it rests in peace. His actions, though changeful, will always be impartial. But the actions of others are changing and cannot be impartial. Thus, the coolness of the mind produces enormous good, not only to himself, but also to the world at large. Peace shows the way to right conduct. 5. A man walks with a lighted lamp in his hand. Can there be any hostility between the light and the ups and downs on the way? There cannot be, but light and darkness cannot be together. The light chases away darkness. It discloses the ups and downs on the way and makes a man walk carefully, whether he moves up, down, or sideways. It removes the causes of vain complaints, such as, "That snag hurt my foot," or "This hollow made me slip." Similarly, after peace is gained, the state of peace makes the man neither hate nor antagonize the world. Rather, it dispels the darkness which conceals from our view the true nature of the world and its snags. In the absence of the light of peace, which enables people to adjust themselves to varying circumstances, they condemn the world as full of misery, as they would complain of the snags on the road. Therefore, a man who has gained the utmost peace after knowing the whole world as a complicated dream should not be considered either unrelated to the world or unconcerned with its activities. He alone stands in effective concord with it. Only he is competent to be a man of action. Thus, peace is that which regulates one's duties. 6. The concern of a man of peace in the actions of the world lies in rectifying them. Should he feel fear before this world, what hope of reformation can there be, especially from those who esteem it and want to possess it? They are in the grip of selfishness, blind to impartiality. to guide the blind on the way or treat the blindness of the eye, one's eyesight must itself be good. Similarly, it is for him to reform the world who has already discerned his unchanging nature from the changeful nature of the world and becomes peaceful. These cannot help serving the world. Why can anyone be so hard-hearted as not to lift up a child when it slips and falls? So also for the wise ones who can rightly appraise the troubles of the world and help the people. Because he has already withdrawn himself from the mind and body, the sage feels no concern under the strain of service to the world. Just as the life principle does not suffer even when loaded carts pass over the corpse it has left behind by itself, he will not shrink from work or trouble. Only truly realized peace can bestow such courage and coolness. 7. To all appearances, peace will look poor and quite weak, but in effect, it beats all. In tenacity and courage, it surpasses all. After all, success depends on these qualities. Even if Mount Meru should topple over, the incident will hardly produce a gentle smile in the man of peace, or it will leave him unmoved. This state is helpful both for worldly and spiritual matters. True happiness in the world is his, and that happiness comes out of release from bondage. Peace means doing good to anyone in any manner. 8. The obstacles to peace are several. They are meant to prove the man. When they confront us, we should be wide awake and keep the delicate flower of the mind distant from even the shadows. If the flower of the mind be crushed, it will lose its fragrance, freshness, and color. It will neither be useful to you, nor can it be presented to others, nor offered to God. Know that your mind is more delicate than even a blossom. By means of a peaceful mind, all your duties to yourself, to others, and to God must be discharged. Let it release the same freshness throughout. All blessings for the mind are contained in peace. 9. Unremittingly worship the God of yourself with the flower of your mind. Let the children of the mental modes watch this worship. Gradually, they will learn to cast away their childish pranks and desire to delight like yourself. As they watch your peace, they will themselves recoil from their vagaries. Continue the worship patiently. Be not led away by the vagaries of the mind. On the contrary, they should become peaceful by your peace. All must get peace. 10. I shall finish in one word. The essence of all Vedas is peace. Continued in January, February 1999 issue.